Welcome to the Watchman Radio Hour, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, here in the beautiful Northwest. This is David Schultz, your announcer. The Watchman Radio Hour is a production of Watchman Radio Ministries International, an evangelistic ministry reaching out to the peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now here's our speaker, Alex Dotson, to bring you this week's message from God's Word.
For our scripture reading today, let us turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. Let us hear the word of God. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible that you have given to us. We thank you that it's your infallible word and that we can put our full confidence in everything that it says. And now, O Father, as we come to study your word today, we pray that you will send forth your Holy Spirit in great convicting power. In Christ's name we pray, amen. What does the future hold for the Christian? We know that when we die, we will go to be with the Lord. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul again says in Philippians 1:21 through 24, he says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. This is the in-between state. It's something the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about. We know we will be with the Lord in some way, and yet we will still be awaiting the resurrection. It is this resurrection that we ultimately look forward to. Paul speaks of the resurrection when he says in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 51, he says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. This is our ultimate destination as Christians. One day we will have a new body at the resurrection day, and we will never die again. The resurrection day will also usher in a new heaven and a new earth, which will be our eternal home. Our text today is 2 Peter 3 and verse 13, which says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. We look forward to our future home. The Bible is clear. There will be a resurrection day. We will inherit a new heaven and a new earth. That's God's promise to his people. That's something that we as Christians can all look forward to. There's going to be a judgment day, but we look beyond that judgment day to an eternal kingdom. In Matthew 25:34, it says, in describing what will happen to the people of God at the last judgment, it says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. As Christians, we look forward to that eternal kingdom. Now let us see in the first place the promise of God of our future home. Again, verse 13 says, but in keeping with his promise. This promise is rooted in the Old Testament. What promise is Peter referring to? He must be referring to the promise in the Old Testament, for that is the only place where the new heaven and the new earth are mentioned. It is also mentioned in Revelation, but it is highly unlikely that Peter would be referring to that passage since it wasn't written as yet. The Old Testament passages are only two. Isaiah 65:17, which says, behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. And Isaiah 66:22, which says, as the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure. In both of these verses, a simple promise is made. God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and that new creation will endure or will last forever. This is not a complicated promise. It's very simple. That's the simple promise that Peter is referring to. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Matthew Henry writes, what is the ground and foundation of this expectation and hope? The promise of God. To look for anything which God has not promised is presumption. But if our expectations are according to the promise, both as to the things we look for and the time and way of their being brought about, we cannot meet with a disappointment, for he is faithful who has promised. See, therefore, that you raise and regulate your expectations of all the great things that are to come according to the word of God. And as to the new heaven and new earth, look for them as God has allowed and directed by the passages we have in this portion of Scripture now before you. And in Isaiah 65:17, 66:22, to which the apostle may be thought to allude. And then let us see that this promise is reaffirmed in the New Testament. This promise of a new heaven and a new earth in the Old Testament is promised again in the New Testament, here in 2 Peter, and also in Revelation 21 in verse 1, where it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. This is the same promise that Isaiah made. The old heaven and earth will pass away, and a new heaven and earth will come to take their place. It also adds, there will no longer be any sea. Now, what does that mean? Nobody knows for sure. I don't think it means that there will no longer be any oceans to look at. In Revelation, the beast comes out of the sea like a sea monster. There will no longer be any sea that will produce a sea monster like the beast. This is probably the meaning. This new heaven and new earth, as described in Revelation, will be a place where suffering has ceased. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will not be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Secondly, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Again, our text says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and new earth. This is not symbolic of a future period. Some have interpreted this new heaven and new earth in a more symbolic way of a future period, such as the gospel age. John Gill comments on this. He says, look for new heavens and a new earth, not figuratively, the world to come in distinction from the Jewish world or state, or a new church state, or the gospel dispensation with new ordinances, as baptism and the Lord's Supper, all legal ceremonies and ordinances being gone and everything new. For these things had taken place already when Peter wrote, and were not looked for as the future. But these phrases are to be understood literally, as the heavens and the earth are in every passage in the context. The context of the whole passage is talking about the heaven and the earth. Most of the passage refers to the present heaven and earth, which will come to an end. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 5, it says, but they deliberately forget that long ago, By God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and with water. That's the creation. And then verse 7, it says, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And then in verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. In all three passages, a literal heaven and earth are referred to. There is no reason to believe otherwise than in verse 13 that Peter is also referring to a literal heaven and earth. And so it's a real and a literal place, a real place. In the spirit of the Reformation Study Bible, in commenting on Revelation 21:1, where the new heavens and new earth are mentioned, it says, some have thought that the new universe will be an entirely new world that has no connection with the old one. But Isaiah 65:17 through 25 and Romans 8:21 through 23 indicate that a transfiguration of the old world is in view, similar to the way in which our new bodies will be transfigurations of the old ones. Everything is new, which indicates the thoroughness and extensiveness of the transfiguration, but the result is redemption and not mere abolition of the old. There will be a renewed creation. It will in some sense be a continuation of the old creation, but it will be new and eternal. The old creation is temporary. The new creation will last forever. In connection with the resurrection, there will also be a renewed creation. This seems to be the clear teaching of Romans 8 and verses 21 through 23, which says that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. The whole creation looks forward to the resurrection day, when not only will the children of God receive their new bodies, but the whole creation will be renewed. There will not be a judgment for God's people, but blessing. The whole passage is talking about judgment. There's a day of judgment coming when this whole world will be judged. Yet for the people of God, we look forward to something better. In 2 Peter 3:10, again it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. This old creation will be destroyed, and judgment will come to the ungodly. Yet the people of God need not fear, because we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. There is the contrast in the scripture of what will happen at the last day. There will be a terrible judgment for the ungodly, but blessing for the people of God. In 2 Thessalonians 1, in verses 6 through 10, we have this same contrast. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. Again, judgment awaits the ungodly, but blessing awaits those who know Christ as Lord and Savior. And then in the third place, let us see that our future home will be a place of righteousness. Again, our text says, but in keeping with this promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. There will be no more sin and death. In the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no more sin. There will be no more death. In Revelation 21, in verse 3, it says, and I heard a loud voice from the heaven saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And then in verse 7 it says, he who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. The new heaven and new earth will not be a home for sinners. They will be gone. Sin will have been eradicated forever. The sinful nature will be gone. Our hearts will be purified. The curse of the fall will be gone forever. In Revelation 22:3, it says, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. We will have willing hearts to serve the Lord. The will of heaven will come down to earth. In Matthew 6:10, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So says the Lord's Prayer. The ultimate fulfillment of this petition will be in the new heaven and new earth. It will be there that God's will, as revealed in the Scriptures, will be done. Michael Green writes, once more Peter returns to the Old Testament for his description of the Christian hope. He is true to his own teaching that the word of prophecy is more sure than anything else, and looks forward to the fulfillment of God's ancient promises. Sin, which has marred God's world, will not be permitted to have the final word. In a renewed universe, the ravages of the fall will be repaired by the glory of the restoration. Paradise lost will become paradise regained, and God's will shall eventually be done alike in earth and heaven. And then he goes on to write, Peter knew no more than did the Old Testament prophets about the way this would be accomplished. Nor are we any wiser today. We have no means whatever of conceiving what a resurrection body or what a restored universe will be like. Those who think they can map out a detailed program of what will happen at the second coming should remember that despite the prophecies of Scripture, nobody got the details of the first coming right. The language of this passage is figurative. It is an attempt to convey in the language of this world something of the wonder of the next. But it is not so much concerned to describe the indescribable, to prevent us getting earthbound, to assure us that God has a purpose and a future not only for our souls but for our bodies, not only for redeemed individuals but for redeemed society. There is such a thing as human solidarity, alike in creation, in fallenness, and in restoration. That is why the New Testament does not represent the resurrection of the body as happening until the last day. Although it makes it quite clear that the Christian dead are with the Lord, and are indeed better off than the living. Full bliss will be possible for any only when it is possible for all. Thus Isaiah and Revelation and Peter here all stress that the new heavens and earth will be the permanent home of righteousness. All evil will have been destroyed. The nations of the saved will have no desire but to do their heavenly Father's will. As Christians, we are called to a life of good works, or to a life of righteousness. In Ephesians 2:10 it says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. in this life, we begin a life of good works and righteousness. Because we are still in this life, we still contend with sin, the remnants of which continue to cling to us. But in the new heaven and new earth, we will be completely free of this contamination. We will be completely free to live a godly life as God intended. In this life, we have previews of what the future life will be like, especially in times of revival. In Psalm 85 and verse 10, it says, "Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps." These kinds of things happen when true revival comes. Righteousness looks down from heaven, and righteousness comes to a land. Daniel Dorchester writes concerning the benefits of the early years of the first Great Awakening in America. He says, "Nor in Northampton alone were these permanent benefits. The good effects were widely visible after the excitement had passed away. The churches were stronger in numbers and piety. Public morals were improved. Theology was more evangelical, and the line of demarcation between the church and the world was more visible. There was a glimpse of a renewed society where righteousness rules. In this world, this can only be imperfect. In the world to come, it will see perfection. As we look about us in this world today, and we see sin abounding in so many places, as we look at our own nation, and as we see things being promoted that the Bible clearly denounces, it makes us long for a better place, for a place where God's righteousness is honored and where his righteousness prevails. And therefore we long for that new heaven and that new earth wherein righteousness dwells." What is your future? Not so much your immediate future in this life, but what is your long-range future? Are you ready to die? We're all going to die at some point. Are you ready for eternity? What do you look forward to? A day of dreadful judgment or a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells? Jesus Christ came and died on the cross that you might have hope for the future. If you put your trust in him today, you can have a living hope and look forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Come to Christ and receive him into your life. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the promise that you give to us of a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. O Lord, we know that we need not fear the judgment if we know Christ. We know that we can look forward to that glorious resurrection and to that new heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells. Thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is Alex Dodson, and I would like to invite you to write us this week. Our email address is info@watchmanradio.org. That's info@watchmanradio.org. That's WATCHMEN radio.org. You may also text us at 503-841-9643. That's 503-841-9643. This is Alex Dodson again. We are collecting funds for orphans in India, in Kenya, East Africa, and Honduras. If you would like to help us help children who are needy in these parts of the world, you may do so by going to our website at www.watchmanradio.org. That's www.watchmanradio.org. And click there on the link to our children's fund. We invite you to help a needy child. Thank you.
We hope this week's broadcast has been a blessing to you. If you have any questions about Mr. Dodson's message, please write us. You may email us at info@watchmanradio.org. Our mailing address is Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. That's Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. You may listen to this broadcast at any time on the internet at www.oneplace.com. In the list of ministries, just select the Watchman Radio Hour. This week's program and previous programs are always available there for listening. Our web address is www.watchmenradio.org. That's WATCHMENradio.org. www.watchmenradio.org.